This is HPR episode 2455 entitled, Interface Zero RPG Part 5. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 85 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Klaatu, Lomath, and Thaj play the Interface Zero RPG Part 5.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. You're listening to Hack Republic Radio, Interface Zero, Actual Play. Today I've got with me, as usual, Lomath.
Hey everybody.
And I have Thaj.
What's good, everybody?
I say that weird Thaj. Thaj or Thaj? Thaj.
It's Thaj, like the Taj Mahal, but nobody ever gets it right, so I just answered anything at this point.
Thad? Thaj, maybe?
Yeah, I know. That's what you want to say. But there's a story to that silent H, right, Thaj? It's like a, I don't know, you mentioned it in an email once.
Yeah, it's an intricacy of aspirated syllables in Sanskrit.
See, that's pretty fancy. So when we last left Chai Wei and Sid, they had found Peter, which, to the letter of the contract, their job is basically complete. But I have a sense that there's a little bit more to this. So Peter has said to you, if memory serves, you're either in or out to help me. I'm going to go take down Global Omnium Digital, or at least I'm going to go take down Elizabeth. Are you with me or not? What do you guys do?
Yeah, I was thinking over what I was going to do about this, and I think Chai Wei will probably help out, but I think she's going to have to let the corporation she works for know about it first, so maybe they can make some preparations.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yes, that's a good angle. How about you? What about Sid, Thaj?
Sid's obviously thinking, I could do this for the 7,000 credits we talked about at the beginning, or I could do something that would make a difference. And so I think Sid is definitely on the side of, hey, let's do this. Let's tear something down because it probably will make the world a better place.
Cool. Okay. So maybe this is at least part of what Sid was looking for in his sort of trying to find himself storyline.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking. Just kind of mulling it over in my head that if I was in that position, I think somebody looking for something, that this would kind of give them that focus and path.
Okay, so Peter looks at you both, and he sees that you're not resistant to what he has proposed. And so he says just directly to each of you, can I count on you for your help?
Sure.
I tell him I have no reason not to help you.
And what exactly are you bringing? I mean, you're obviously good enough to have found me, which I had hoped would be difficult. But you're here. You're standing here in front of me. You didn't come in guns blazing. So you're obviously clever. And you're obviously very good at whatever it is you do. But what are you bringing to the table?
I tell him if you need to get in somewhere, or if you need to sneak something in somewhere, I am the person to do it.
I kind of just hold up my cybernetic arm and move my fingers in a little hello and look at the thing closest to me and just kind of smash it. Just as a show of, hey, this is what I can do.
Okay, the thing closest to you is a very expensive microscope. And you smash it, and he sort of size, but the message is loud and clear.
That was outstanding.
So he says, all right, I'm going to admit that this has so far been our weakest point. I'm the inside man, obviously. And my friends here, and he motions to the 14 techies around him, are very good at what they do on networks and with technology. But on the ground forces, we've been very, very lacking. If you could be that for us, then you might be able to get us in to where we need to be in order to take out Elizabeth Ravadun. Do you think you could handle it? There's going to be a lot of gunfire. Are you prepared to do that?
I tell him, let me know where you need us to be and I can get us there.
Okay, so let's break up for now, and I will get in contact with you probably later tonight or tomorrow with where you need to be and at what time, and I'll be counting on you.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think we'll head back to our hideout then and make some preparations.
Cool. You all depart. Everyone goes their separate ways, and you go back to your HQ. And so did you want to talk to your corporate overlords then, Chai Wei?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to call us in and let them know that another corp is probably going down, or at least will be, disabled for a while. Let them make any preparations that they would need to for that.
Are you anticipating that they may send some mercs to help you in your endeavor?
Let's see. I can call in like a few credits worth of extra gear and stuff, but I don't know if they would. It depends on whether, I don't know. I don't think they would help, but I don't think they would hinder what we're doing either.
Wonder if it might be worth calling your Patchman contact to see if he wants to tag along as a medic support.
Yeah, I think that would be a good. I think that would be a good idea to have some extra support with us. Let's see his name again. Johnny Two Thumbs.
Johnny Two Thumbs. He sounds like the kind of guy who might be up for tagging along. I don't know. He
sounds like somebody who's about that life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you call Johnny Two Thumbs, and he answers and he says, "Hey, Chai Wei, what's up?"
I tell him we got a big operation going down and we might need some medical support. I was wondering if you would like to tag along. For a fee, of course.
Yeah, it's been a slow month, actually. I'm up for that. I've got some new toys. I like to think of them as inverse medical tools. And I'd like to try them out on a couple of people.
I think that sounds like a pretty good time.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right, sounds good. We'll work out the details later.
Cool. So Johnny Two Thumbs is up. Sid, do you have anything that you need to prep for?
I'm sitting here looking at my character sheet. No, I think I'll be okay. I've got some weapons. I think I'll be all right, so probably not.
After Chai Wei makes her calls, you guys receive a message from Tina Tamatsu. And she obviously doesn't know Chai Wei, so she's calling Sid on his... Because you gave her your card, if I recall correctly.
I did, yes.
Yeah, so she says, "Sid, this is Tina. I wanted to ask you something. Is this a secure line?"
Yeah, go ahead.
"I wanted to see if you'd made any progress on finding Peter, because I heard some rumors about a big meeting earlier today of a hacktivist group that I can't prove it, but I think that they might be related to the Tinkerers, and I'm wondering if you might be able to either check that out, or if maybe you happen to already know that."
"I've been in contact with them, yes, and I know that they did meet."
"Do you think Peter's with them?"
"Probably best for you not to be involved in certain things at this point."
"Sid, I thought we had an agreement that we were going to keep each other informed about these matters."
I motion at Chai Wei to have her come over, and I guess whatever future version of speakerphone I have, I go ahead and turn it on so she can hear what's going on.
And Tina says, "If you don't want me involved, then I don't have to be, but I thought we'd come to an understanding that we were going to help each other out on this."
"What kind of help are you going to be able to offer should things go down? At this point, if things get rough, what is getting you involved going to help, unless you've got something you're not telling me about?"
"I've got a lot I'm not telling you about," she says. "But mostly I just want to be there for Peter. I haven't seen him in over a year."
"I can tell you that Peter knows that you have talked to us about him."
"So you have found him?"
"I didn't say that. I said he knew."
"You got a message to him?"
"In a manner of speaking, yes."
"You're being very elusive, Sid. I thought we were... I really thought we'd gone over this. I thought we were going to work together on this. Where are you? Why don't you tell me... Give me your location. I'll come over and talk to you personally. I can make it worth your while."
I turn to Chai Wei and see what she thinks.
"I think we should set up a meeting at another location."
"We could try to set something up at the place where the last place that Elizabeth sent that other guy, because that's a place we know, and we know the lay of the land."
"The Gin Grove apartment complex?"
"Yeah."
"Hopefully there's not police, although they're all done now, probably. We could meet her there."
"Okay, so I relay that information to Tina and say we want to meet there in about an hour."
"I can be there," she says.
"Okay, guess we'll head that way."
You head out into the sprawl, or not into the sprawl, into the Gin Grove district, and it's the late afternoon, early evening at this point, so it's getting dark. The wage slaves from the local Gin Grove corporate office are walking home or were commuting to wherever they need to be for the evening. And when you arrive at the Gin Grove apartment complex, the old run-down apartments, roll me an awareness, Chaiwei, because you're the one who knows the area better than Cid, who's never been there.
Perception check?
That's what I meant, sorry.
Let me grab my character real quick. I got an 18 plus probably 10, so 28.
Okay, so you do see that there are two people on either side of the apartment building itself. That just knowing strategy as well as you do, it does look like they might be flanking the building a little bit. They're not making an obvious show of it, but if you had to guess, they were there on purpose, and they're probably serving some purpose. They don't look like cops or anything.
I think this is a setup.
It could be.
I think
she did say she had something to bring to the table. Maybe this is part of what she wants to bring to the table, but I definitely think we should go in cautious at this point. Do we have a direct line back to Peter to contact him if we need to?
Yeah. Let's say that you've exchanged contact info.
Because all we know is his reaction to me saying her name and her side of the story. We don't really know what his side of the story is. She could be setting us up. She may very well be working for Elizabeth, too.
Or somebody, got to her and is coercing her. I would say definitely, I don't know. I don't think we want to let him know that we're meeting her. I think he might show up then. And that would probably be bad.
Maybe just contact him and see how what his feelings towards her at this point are and her involvement in the past, maybe.
Yeah, I guess we can confirm her story with him. So we'll hang out for a couple minutes and wait for a reply. Probably try to head around the back of the building and see what's back there. Or see if anybody else is around.
Okay, yeah, so you send a message off to Peter, and while you're waiting for his response, you navigate around the back of the building. And since there are two people there who are pretty watchful, why don't you guys roll me a stealth?
I got a 19.
I also get a 19.
Cool. You both circle around. Do you want to split ways, or do you want to go together?
I think we should stick together.
Yeah, okay. So you both head off around the building in a pretty wide, giving yourself a wide berth. And so the back corner of the building is fairly well crumbled, and that's the way that Gu Hanying, the guy that you, the assassin that you bluffed, had come through into the building. Looks like probably historically some kind of big truck had run into the apartment building, taken out a chunk of it. So it's crumbled there, and sure enough, there's another dude sort of stationed at that entrance as well. He doesn't look super pleasant either, but yeah, he's clearly keeping an eye on that entry.
Well, Sid, do we want to go in here?
Maybe one of us should go in and one of us stay out, just in case, because the person outside could, if they're strategically placed, still do some damage inside. You seem like you've got more ranged stuff, so maybe you should stay out. Maybe I'll walk in and make the meeting, and since she already knows me, then we'll know if it's going to go south.
All right. Do you want to go in the back here with the one guard, or should we go in the front? Or do you want to go in the front?
It seems like is the guy in the back, since we couldn't see him from the other, when we came around until we got to the back, I'm assuming that the other people cannot see him at this point.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, I'll approach that guy first.
You walk up to the dude, and he immediately straightens up and comes to full alert. But he doesn't raise a weapon or anything. He's clearly sort of on guard, and he looks at you and says, "Hey, Chummer, what's going on?"
I'm here for a meeting with Tina.
What's your name?
Name's Sid.
Can I see your is your arm exposed? Your cyber arm exposed, or is it in a sleeve or something? Is there clothing over it?
I would assume. The way I was imagining it, it's probably exposed.
Okay. So he looked at the cyber arm, and you said your name was Sid, so he sort of nods you through. He says, "Yeah, go back, go through this little hallway here. You'll find a little office. She's hanging out there for you."
Okay, thanks.
So you walk through the makeshift entryway through a very large, sort of empty, hollowed-out room, and across the hallway from this large room is a smaller, I guess you could call it an office. It's a smaller space, and there is a desk that was probably functional at one point. It's kind of shoved up against the wall right now, barricading one of the windows. It's an empty room, and then there's the hallway with lots of other empty rooms in it or off to its side.
Do I notice anybody in here besides me at this point?
There's nobody in here that you can see.
From outside, do I see him doing anything, taking any actions, the guard?
Yeah, the guard has called someone on his comm link.
Okay. And I'll do a quick check, see if there's any network up here. I know there wasn't last time, but just to double check, make sure nothing's going on.
Yeah, there is a, you detect a network, yes. It's a local network, like a mesh network consisting of at least these guards. If you want more, you can roll a hacking roll and poke around.
Yeah, I'll do a 22 hacking
nice. Check. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, that definitely gets through their firewall, so you can see on the matrix, you can see the two guards out front, the one guard outside, and then there are about three people inside the building on the same network.
Any identities on the three inside?
Yeah, you can see that one is Tina, and two are just two. Generic Thug 1 and Generic Thug 2 are their handles.
All right. Can I listen in on their conversation? Let's see, what would that be?
I'm looking that up.
Yep, go to the hacking table.
We could just call it the same as a security camera operation. I think that's probably okay. Fair. So, yeah.
Sounds good. Let me give you another roll. I got 11, so 23.
23 does get in. And you can hear the guard in the back saying, Sid just arrived and he's gone on through. I told him to wait in an office. And then Tina's voice comes through and says, okay, we'll move in now. She says, you can join us for backup. And the guard in the back sort of turns and starts to go through the crumbled door.
All right, I'm going to start taking some action then, I guess. Well, do I want to start shooting it? No, he's going to turn around. I'm going to move in behind him then.
Okay. We'll just keep you on that same stealth roll for this, I think, because now he's actually probably more distracted than he was originally. So.
And I'll let Sid know that they're coming.
Yeah, okay. So, Sid, you get a message from Chai Wei saying that Tina and some friends are on the way, and I imagine she's probably telling you that she's not totally sure what's going on here, and you're probably feeling the same way. Where are you? Are you in the office? Are you in the hallway? Where have you made your way off to, Sid?
Yeah, I'm still... I just stayed inside the office that she told me to wait in.
Okay. As you're waiting, you hear footsteps coming down the hallway from the far end, from the front of the building. You hear footsteps. And then soon in the office doorway, there appears just Tina. And she says, Sid, it's good to see you again. I need to talk to you, and I hope we can talk honestly. I don't really like the way that this is... turned, Sid. I thought we were on the same side here.
I'd like to feel that way, but I also know that you have three people on site who are watching the property and who followed you in, and I'm a little concerned about that situation.
She says, Sid, this district is very dangerous for someone like me, so I assume you would understand that I would have to bring some protection for myself. What I want to know, Sid, is whether you found Peter or not, and you're being very strange about that. You don't seem to want to tell me one way or the other, so I'm assuming that you found him, but that you don't want me to know where he is, which I don't understand.
We know Peter's very good at his job, so I didn't really want to say anything, not in front of somebody's face at this point, site to site, just to keep things secure. Plus, we know that he means something to you and you mean something to him. And
he means everything to me, Sid.
I'm not sure dragging you into the situation is good for my and my compatriots' long-term well-being if something should go south.
All I want to do is protect Peter. And that might mean that I have to protect Peter from you, for all I know, because I don't really know who you are.
How are you planning on protecting him?
I have resources that I'm willing to spend to make sure that he stays safe. But you need to tell me where he is so that I can do that.
Have I heard anything back from Peter?
Yeah. So Peter, a message from Peter comes through, and he just says that Tina Tamatsu and I were very close at one time, and I don't know really what's become of her since I left. I've always regretted leaving without saying goodbye to her or letting her know what I was doing, but I felt like I needed to do that to keep her safe and to keep myself safe.
Can I do a sense motive roll on her to see if she's bluffing me?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
22.
And I'll forward the message to you with his sentiment that he wanted to protect her.
Oh, wow. What did you get, Sid? I didn't hear.
22.
Okay. Yeah, she's... You can... As you have no reason to believe that she would be... I mean, she seems to be pretty concerned about Peter's well-being, and given that Chai Wei has told you that she's got hired muscle around for her protection, it seems like those are probably the resources that she wants to sort of expend on Peter to keep him safe.
I guess I would tell her that we are going after Elizabeth, and if you want to help Peter, that would be a good way to help.
I think that was a suggestion for you, Sid.
See how she responds to that.
Yeah, so I tell her everything that Chai Wei basically just said. And I even give her a little nugget and tell her that we have contacted Peter and told him that we are in contact with you currently.
Okay, so she breathes sort of a sigh of relief, and she says, I'm so glad that you have found him and that he's safe. I would love to contribute to taking down Elizabeth Ravadoon. If she's the one who took Peter away from me, I would very much enjoy seeing her suffer. So you tell me where to be and when to be there, and I will send everything I've got to help you in your venture.
Okay.
At this point, I guess I'm gonna announce my presence and come in as well, so we can make some plans.
Okay. You're where would you be right now? Are you in that big room, or have you gone into the building? Right.
Yeah, I would be still at the entrance to the building. So.
Cool. So
I'll tell Sid to let everybody know that I'm coming in.
Yeah, that would be probably the way to do it. Yeah.
Do not shoot the lady who's coming in the building. She's with me.
Tina sort of looks at you in surprise and says, I thought you were working alone, Sid.
It's always better that people not know all the cards you have.
She nods, and you sense that she's sort of looking at you differently now, sort of like there was a dimension there that she really had not detected. And yeah, Chai Wei walks in, and Tina moves aside for her. And at that point, all of her thugs kind of congregate as well, because, there's no reason for people to hang back at this point. So they all sort of move into the hallway and into the doorway. And Tina says, it's nice to meet you, Chai Wei. Thank you for joining us. So the meeting with Peter, when's this happening? When are we doing this thing? And what exactly is it that we are doing?
I tell her we don't have plans to meet Peter again yet, but he needs some infiltration done to take down Elizabeth and Global Omnium. And we were hoping we could use your help, maybe as a distraction while we slip in the side door.
She says, yeah, we could probably arrange that. But I think it would be better if I just spoke to Peter myself. Can you give me his contact information?
I guess I will send a message off to Peter and see. No, you know what? I will give her his contact information. Sid, she seems earnest here, right?
That's what I got. So I'm assuming. And I would also assume Peter probably is masking at least a little bit where he's at and stuff. So it probably can't be that big of a deal to give her the info.
Yeah, I will give her the means I have to contact him.
Okay, she accepts that gratefully. She says, thank you, both of you. I'm assuming your team so far consists just of yourselves?
Yeah, it's just the two of us so far. So we could use your support.
She says, well, I'll give you everything I've got, I promise you that. And she sort of steps back out of the doorway, and her thugs move in, and roll for initiative.
Nice.
She got a natural 20 plus her bluff bonus of 12 when you did a sense motive.
Yikes.
She says as she's parting, I'm going to make Peter pay for leaving me. Thanks for helping me find him. And she walks out.
Double crossed.
21.
21 for you, okay.
Where's my initiative? I got a 14. Plus 2, 16.
So the thugs who remain, because some went to escort her safely back to her district. So the thugs that remain are four, and they all go after you, luckily. So I guess it's Sid's move first. As they draw their weapons, you can take action. And to give you an idea of where you are, yeah, so it's a fairly small room. I would say maybe 12 feet by 12 feet. So not a whole lot of movement. There is a desk, like I said, propped up against a window. You are on the first level. There's a doorway in front of you with pretty much all four thugs kind of crowding in the doorway, ready to just sort of do a firing line style execution.
So I'm going to reach out with the cyber arm and just try to punch the first, or run up to, if I have to, the first person and just punch them as hard as I can with the fist and use, hang on, let me look at my sheet, stunning fist, which if it succeeds, they get fatigue.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Yeah.
19.
Yeah, that hits. So if it hits, you said this person gets fatigued, and I'm assuming also damage of some sort. So yeah, roll for damage.
I should hope so. 2.
Yeah, Chai Wei.
All right, I'm up next. Assuming that I'm still on this local network, I'm wondering if I can use the comms channel to maybe broadcast, I don't know, just like a really loud piercing noise and see if I can just stun everybody.
Yeah.
Or at least distract them.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, give it a go. All
right.
I think it'll be controlling the network or controlling something. So yeah, I'll look it up, but you give me a roll.
All right, I got a 15 plus 12 hacking, so 27.
Yep, that does it then. So yeah, you broadcast just outrageously high-pitched white noise across their comm links, and it does it. You see, there's four of them, right? Let me give them a counter move. Hold on.
Yeah, maybe a con check or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So two of them are well and truly distracted by that, especially the one who's fatigued, I would say. So yeah. They're momentarily not stunned, but you know, yeah, distracted. I could either have them roll at a disadvantage, or I could just skip their turns. And I feel kind of like, let's just skip their turns. I mean, 6 seconds of dealing with white noise, I feel like that's pretty believable. So, Sid, back up to
for
you.
For those two?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right, for those
four,
two.
No, four of them.
I'm sorry, yeah, you're right. Only those two, you're right. Okay, cool. So, Thug 3 and 4 are up. Let me look at what they've got on their list here.
And then, I guess there really isn't any place to hide in here, is there?
Not without, like, moving that desk or something, but, I mean, in terms of, yeah.
All right, well.
Although, I mean, the ceiling's pretty crumbly. I imagine either of you probably have sufficient acrobatics such that you could probably go upward if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'll probably move over by that desk, but I don't think I have any more actions this round, so.
Okay, so one of the non-distracted thugs takes out, finally gets his weapon ready, and does a burst fire at Sid. Probably does not hit. 8 does not hit, correct?
No, does not.
Okay, and the other non-stunned thug. Ooh, 18, shooting at Chai Wei with a burst fire. Does that hit?
Yeah, that will hit.
Okay, so I think I was saying that burst fire is basically the damage with exploding die to account for the burst. So let me roll some die. Did not explode, but you get 4 damage.
All right, not too bad.
Yeah, considering.
I'm going to pull out my Street Talker handgun and point it at the person who just shot at Chai Wei and take a shot.
Okay.
19.
Yes, that hits.
12 damage.
Wow, nice. Okay. And Chai Wei, you're up.
Oh, wait, I forgot about my DR, my damage reduction. Forgot how that works in this system.
Oh, right. What is that for, your damage reduction?
I think it lowers it, but let me double check the armor.
Yeah, I remember you saying, go ahead.
The armor in this system is a little strange to me.
Same here, yeah. A lot of their damage stuff is pretty strange to me. I don't know what they were going for.
Searching isn't working. Let's look through the armor.
What class of armor is it? Do you know? Is it hardened?
It's not hardened. Okay. It's the business suit and Under Armour from ED1.
Okay.
All right. So it looks like my armor does take it, but it'll be degraded by 1 from that shot.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about the degrading thing. Yeah, that's. Yep, that sounds right.
All
right.
So I don't actually take that, but my armor goes down by 1. DR goes to 4.
All right, cool. And did you do an action yet? I forget. Where are we on your turn?
Yeah, sorry about that. The two thugs had just gone.
Yes, okay.
And Sid, it is my turn. All right, let's see. You said the ceiling did look like it was in pretty rough shape.
Yeah, it's falling apart. There's exposed beams or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really want to stay here and fight, but I don't know where we're going to go. I guess I will... Yeah, for now, I think I'll take another shot. I'm not hurting too bad yet, so I will take out my pistol and give the one that just shot at me, take a shot at him.
Okay.
So I got a 9 plus 4, so 13 to hit.
That does not hit.
All right.
Okay, so Thug 1 ducks out the doorway behind the wall in the hallway. That is all that you can see that he is doing this round. Thug 2 opens fire. Chai Wei, since she's the latest to have fired. So let me see what happens there. Eh, nope, misses. Thug 3, 18 to hit Sid. Does that hit?
It does.
Okay. Ooh, 6 damage. And then Thug 4 also retreats into the hallway. Thug 4 being the one that had gotten 12 damage earlier from Sid. Sid, it is your turn. So now you're now facing two thugs, and you know that there are two who have made their way out into the hallway.
Where are they going?
Knowing our luck for backup. I'm going to go after the one... So the one who's fatigued is still in the room, correct?
Yes, correct.
I'm going to take a shot at the other one.
Okay, go for it.
I got a 1.
Okay. So, yeah, you miss. And as we've said before, we're not doing any really fun... critical misses, unfortunately, so you just miss. Chai Wei.
Alright, we just got the two of them now, so let's... I think this should be a fair fight. I'm a little concerned where the other guys are going, though, but I'm going to take another shot.
Okay.
15 plus 4 is a 19 to hit.
Oh, wow. Yes, hit.
Alright, and that's 2d8 damage. So 6 damage for them.
Nice. Okay, cool. Sid, roll a fortitude check.
20.
Oh, nice. Okay. Your cyber arm feels fine. Okay, so that was Thug. Let's see. Okay, so another Thug takes a shot. Misses. And 12 doesn't hit Sid, right?
No.
That's all the thugs. Two of them, the two in the room fired at you. That's it.
I'm going to take the one that's fatigued, and I'm going to grab his face with my cybernetic arm and just run and try to smash his head through the wall.
Nice. Okay. Yes. Do this.
16.
So you grab onto his face. Yeah, he's aware that of what you're doing, but he just has no strength or will to resist. And you ram his head into the wall, and it sort of, first his skull cracks, and then the wall cracks, and he just falls over onto the thug who was actually squatting right there, just beside the doorway. So you kind of bowled both of them over. And the thug just to the left of the thug that you've just pushed into the wall reaches out and hits at you. 15 for a melee attack?
Nope.
Okay, so he misses. And yeah, that's pretty effective. Chai Wei, it's your turn. So you've got one active thug and sort of two bowled over in the hall, and then there's still one out there somewhere, but you're not really sure where he is.
All right, this is going pretty well, so I'm going to take another shot. I rolled an 18 for 4 damage to the one that's standing and just took a swing at Sid.
Okay, so he actually goes down. You said 6... How much damage? 16?
4 damage.
Oh, 4, 4. Oh, right, so that's a total... Okay, never mind. He does not go down, but he is quite hurt. The thug who is squatting in the hall and has now had another thug pushed over onto him is lying prone, so he sort of scrambles up to his feet, but that's all he can do this round. The thug you've just taken care of through the wall is no longer functional, so the thug there in the room that Chai Wei just damaged takes a shot at Chai Wei. And that is 19 to hit.
Yep, that'll hit.
Okay, let me see. 5 damage.
Alright, the armor.
Does the armor... Okay, cool.
Yeah, I looked. So it's corporate armor, so it takes 20 damage for it to lose a DR.
Nice, wow.
So it is still DR 5, yeah.
Cool, okay. That's pretty handy to have.
It's my business suit. You know,
yeah, it's just standard attire, really. Sid, here you go.
So I push the one guy through the wall. There's a hole there. The other guy stands up. Out from underneath the guy, I just pull my gun straight at his face, pull the trigger.
Nice. So sort of point. I guess that would be definitely against touch AC, right? I mean, you're just point
plus,
blank.
That's cool.
Yeah, go
17.
For it. 17. Yeah, so he is now dead. He has no head.
Damage. That was the hit.
Oh, right. I keep thinking, yeah, that's not damage.
8 damage.
Let's call him dead anyway, because I feel like, that's just a really good shot. So, yeah, he's out of the picture.
All right, and I got, I can do another shot at this guy. He's looking pretty dead, so hopefully
time. Yeah, this will probably do it.
I got a 7, or 21 to hit for 9 damage, so that should be enough to take him down.
That does take him down, yeah. He falls to the ground, bleeding out, completely lifeless.
All right, that was a couple rounds, but we should probably head out and try to catch up with Tina.
Well, there's still the thug out in the hallway, like the thug who had not been crouching down by the door, and no sooner do you think everything is clear does he reappear in the doorway, sort of deposits a grenade onto the ground, and then runs as fast as he can for cover.
Oh, this is gonna hurt.
How much time do we have before the detonation? Do we have time to take an action?
You can react to it. I'll give you a move for reaction, yeah. Like, you know, I don't know if you want to throw yourself on the grenade, sacrifice yourself for the team, you know, what you have in mind, but go do something.
I was actually thinking about being like a chicken, but...
I'm going to try to jump up into the rafters. I'm going to do an acrobatics check.
That's probably a good call. Go for it.
13 plus 6 is a 19.
You jump, grab onto a rafter, and then just do a flip right up into the rafters. So you're in the ceiling.
Yeah, hopefully that'll take some of the damage, or protect me from some of the damage.
Part of my cybernetics package gives me fast movement, so I'm going to try to hightail it out of the room and around the corner as far as I can to get out of the way.
Okay, cool. Does it say what that means in terms of feet? Like, is there a number that it gives you for, like, how far you can move?
Plus 10 feet.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and standard is 30, probably still in this one, so...
Yeah, it is. Sid, you take 0 damage whatsoever, actually. You do make it out far enough away before. And, Chai Wei, you only get incendiary damage from this. The blast itself does not touch you. Do you have any kind of fire protection that you are aware of?
No. No, I do not.
Okay. You get 1d6 plus 1 points of fire damage per round for 1 minute. So, that's 10 rounds. So, okay, so just...
Yeah, we should probably do it round at a time.
Okay, so you take 2 damage right now from fire.
All right, does my armor block this?
I don't
believe... Or will
yeah,
this go through
this
my armor?
Not. This is not subject to your armor unless you have the... there is some armor that is specifically fire resistant.
Let me double check my armor, but I don't...
In fact, if anything, your armor might actually technically be damaged by this. It says that all exposed equipment and clothing takes the same damage as the character for the high explosive incendiary grenade.
All right, I will add that damage to my armor then. You said it was 2?
Yeah, this round it is 2.
All right, so that's 9. 11 damage to the armor so far, and I will take the 2 as well. All right.
The thug who threw the grenade has hightailed it down the hallway and out the building. All other thugs are completely... either dead or charred, or both at this point.
Alright, Sid, I gotta take care of my flaming self, but if you want to go after Tina, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking I'm gonna try to use my speed to catch up.
Yeah, cool. So you can do that. You run plus 10 with your cyber speed, so 40 feet, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so you run 40 feet, and with that, you're able to see the thug who had thrown the grenade running in a direction that you think is probably the same direction that Tina is going, and further up the street you can see that there are 3 figures kind of running towards something, so you're assuming that's probably Tina and her 2 remaining thugs. And Chai Wei takes another 2 damage this round.
Right, I gotta find some water, I think. So I... this is not an Is this an apartment building?
It was an apartment building, yeah.
All right, can I get through the floor into the next level and see if I can find a bathroom or, you know, an apartment unit?
Yeah, absolutely. So you break your way through, you know, upwards through the floor of the above unit, and it crumbles away pretty easily. It's really run down and fragile.
Yeah, I got a 16 strength check, so that should be enough to get us.
Not a problem. So you're up in the next apartment, and you look around for a faucet, and you find the bathroom.
Yeah, jump in the shower.
And so, yeah, you pour disgusting, dirty, age-old water, comes out of the shower head and douses the flames, which I think within 30 feet, I think that was all within one round, so you're good to go.
All right, yeah, how much damage did I take that round?
Three.
Three? Okay, cool.
It's only 1d6, I mean, only, but yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. Oh, plus one. So actually four.
Okay.
Sid, you are outside in the streets, and you can continue another 40 feet if you'd like. Do you want to just kind of bowl up on them, or are you going to try to, I don't know, sneak around, or are you just going right after them?
I'm going to run right for them.
You run straight for them. You pass the guard who had thrown the grenade, but he doesn't appear to be armed right now. He put his gun away when he was doing all of his grenade stuff, so he can't do much about that. And you eventually catch up with Tina and her two thugs. What do you do?
I am going to drop a flashbang that I have and just try to stun them enough to grab her.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Go for it. Or that's just a yeah. Cool. So flashbang. Let me look at what that says. 2d10. So you can roll 2d10 for damage, actually.
Yeah, 2d10 non-lethal. Surprised it doesn't give a status effect.
Yeah, same here. That's what I was kind of looking for. But I guess it's implied, so we'll imply it.
14.
Nice. So the two thugs fall to the ground, scraping their faces and their clothes all over the road. Tina does the same. You want to just grab Tina?
Yeah, I'm just going to reach and grab her with my cyberarm and pick her up.
Cool. That's what you do. You pick her up, you grab her. The two thugs and the thug who's kind of catching you up, he just runs right by you, and those two thugs pick themselves up off the ground and they keep running. And Tina is struggling, but she catches on pretty quickly that you've got this robot arm, so she kind of eventually gives up a little bit. She says, "Okay, what do you want?"
Well, I think because you were going to sell us out, I think we might have to arrange a meeting with you and Peter again.
Oh, that'd be just fine. Chaiwei, are you going to join them out on the street, or what are you doing?
Yeah, hopefully some clean water comes out of this faucet eventually, so I'm going to try to wash off.
Yeah, eventually it sort of clears itself out, and you know, probably shouldn't drink it, but yeah, it's good enough to get you free of slime and stuff.
So I walk out the front door, a soggy, soggy mess.
Yes.
Slightly charred.
It's a new hairstyle.
And I call Johnny Two Thumbs and tell him I need some help.
He says, "Yeah, I'll be on my way."
All right, meet us at the apartment building here. And then I meet up with Sid and Tina.
Okay.
I ask Sid, what do we want to do with her?
She probably has a backup plan of some sort, even if we have her. So I don't know if we could put her somewhere or incapacitate her or something to where that's one less thing we have to worry about.
Yeah, I think we could assume that your safe house probably has a miniature jail cell or something that you can put people that you need to hold on ice, you know, because that's probably something that you've done in the past. So yeah, you could do that if you wanted.
I don't know. She was just at the apartment that someone was assassinated at earlier. Do we want to just turn her into the cops?
I'm more worried. She's got information on how to find Peter. And as long as she's not in our possession, I'm scared that would get out, unless there's some sort of way to like fry her tap or something where she can't communicate.
I think you could do that. I mean, Chaiwei could take 20 to make that happen. Yeah.
Yeah. To remove that from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I will do that anyway. And maybe we just let her go, knowing that she can't get to Peter.
Or do you want to turn her over to your police contact and maybe gain some brownie points?
Yeah, I don't know if I could tell a convincing enough story that how she did the assassination, but I don't know.
She did just blow up part of a apartment building. I mean, I'm sure that's somewhat illegal.
I don't know. I think I kind of just like, you know, spiting her and letting her go without the information to contact Peter. Just tell her to get out of here.
I will grant you this for style points.
Probably more than that. Like, if we were tracking street cred points, I think that would earn you guys, yeah, some street cred. Because having someone wandering around saying, you know, just absolutely hating you but being powerless to do anything about it, I think that's, yeah, that's pretty good. But we're not tracking street cred, so it doesn't matter. But if we were, you'd get a plus one.
All right. Yeah, I got Tinker street cred now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And no sooner than do you let her go, do you get a message from Peter saying, okay, you two, I know it's probably been really boring waiting for me to get back to you, and I apologize for that, but we're going to move later tonight. We're going to go into the Global Omnium Digital compound, and I have it on good authority that Elizabeth will be there late. So I think that tonight will be a great time to get in without quite as much resistance as one would expect. We'll move into her enclave, the area of the corporation that she directly controls, and take her out.
All right. Yeah, what kind of resistance are we looking at?
We expect her to be well guarded, but we don't expect the compound itself to be very active. So she may have patrols once we reach her immediate enclave, but we don't expect to have any resistance getting into the compound and making our way to her section. Although I'm not making any guarantees, but that's what I expect. And now, guys, this is normally, you know this, this is normally when I would say, time's up, next episode we'll continue the story. But just exclusively for Ken Fallon, because he's been consistently complaining, if you've heard the community episodes, he complains that these episodes are not long enough. I say we just power through this. Let's go attack Global Omnium Digital. Let's just keep going. You guys up for it?
Do we want to set up a meeting with Elizabeth? Let her know we know where Peter is, just to get in the door?
Probably not a bad idea. The only thing I would worry about is that she's probably had us tracked, so she knows that we've had contact, I would assume. So if we do it, we would want to coordinate it pretty well with Peter to make sure that we at least have backup when we try it. But I think it's a good distraction. It would at least put us in zero range when things go down.
Maybe it'd be better not to put her on alert, because then she... Well, I don't know. I think that seems like a pretty good strategy. But I don't know. It would definitely get us in the door.
I could go either way. I'm fine trying it.
No, let's just go for a stealth in, I think.
Cool. So no forewarning, just go in.
Yep. And then, let's see. I could use a little bit of healing. So let's see how the healing works in this system.
I can see if I have any, like, aloe vera cream in my med kit for all your burns.
Oh, I called in the patch man already. So called in my medic.
Yeah, by now we'll assume that he has arrived. And let's see what he can do. How bad?
Healing nanites.
How are you? How bad are you off right now?
I'm down about 10 hit points.
Okay.
Looks like 1d6, or depending on what level we treat him as, like 2d6 healing nanites.
Yeah, I took 6 damage.
Okay, yeah, so we'll assume that he heals you, patches you up as well. And with him, he's brought a bunch of equipment, And yeah, he's ready to move with you guys. So all three of you, I assume, go to the rendezvous point with Peter and his gang. And the rendezvous point is just right within Global Omnium Digital. And Global Omnium Digital is a huge, huge structure. It's a compound, so it's enclosed completely to shield you guys shield its employees from not only the acid rain that deluges the city on a regular basis, but also just the horrors of the real world, which is a big appeal for corporations, is that if you work at a corporation, you can live inside, you can work inside, and you can never, you never have to go out, and you never have to see all of the sort of exciting stuff that Sid and Chai Wei are used to as an everyday part of their lives. So when you go in, Peter and his group are looking very professional. They look, for all the world, like just a group of businessmen who are there to conduct normal business at midnight. And so Peter greets you and says, are you guys ready for this?
I tell him, yeah. And I'm going to tell them about what happened with Tina.
That appears to upset Peter a lot. And he says, I've always regretted what I had to do to Tina, but I never knew it would affect her this much. I'm sorry that you had to deal with that.
Yep, I tell him we took care of it, but I would avoid her in the future.
he nods and says, yeah, thanks for the warning. I think I'll do that. He says, all right, so let's focus on business. And the business at hand is Elizabeth Ravadoon. Her section of the compound is called the Mandisa Enclave. She's got it pretty well locked down because she's quite paranoid, like many of the board members are. So I assume that once we reach it, we'll encounter some resistance. I can try to get us as far as I can inside, just based on my position here at the corporation. But I don't know, they probably have a heads up that I'm not to be trusted and probably to shoot me on sight. So I'll probably need you guys to go in first and clear, you know, just make sure the area is clear before we proceed. But we'll be right behind you. But we can go all up together.
All right. Are you going to be using like your access credentials to get us in? Are they going to be alerted by that? Or do you guys have another way to get us into the compound?
I was planning on using my access credentials, but you make a good point. But that's fine. I can change my access credentials to mask them so that they don't know that it's me. I can just use any one of my many employees' codes, so I'm fine. I can get us right up into the enclave.
All right, then. Let's go. Sid, you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, so you guys, you make your way up towards the Mandisa Enclave, which is sort of like almost a quarter of the compound. It's a huge physical area of the Global Omnium digital compound, and it's behind a key card access to get into that section of the business, which Peter bypasses easily, and that brings you into a quite a large sort of reception area, which is completely empty. And so Peter kind of points back to the right, where there's a hallway, and he says, back that way. If you turn right after that hallway, it should lead us back to Elizabeth's office. But I'm assuming she's going to have guards posted in that hallway. Do you guys want to check that out first?
Yeah, let's go check that out before we do anything else.
Yep, you guys hang out here in the lobby and we will go check out the hallway.
Cool. So you do you want to stealth back there? How do you want to do this?
Indeed.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go first. And I rolled a 1.
Boy.
That's a 10 stealth.
Okay. Sid, what do you got?
11. We're okay. Stuck at our job.
All right. So you guys, with all the confidence that Peter's bestowed in you,
We walk directly out into the hall.
Yeah, you just like sort of, okay, he wants to see if anything's there. So you walk back there into the hallway, and sure enough, there are two thugs there who look up and see you, and without even asking questions, they draw their weapons. So roll for initiative.
9.
I got a 20.
Cool. Then, Chai Wei, it is your turn.
And do you want to roll for Johnny? And maybe we left him in the hall, too, for now.
I feel like he probably hung back because he probably doesn't have any stealth. So, I mean, he can probably make his way over once the fighting starts.
All right. I am going to try to bluff these guys.
Okay, go for it.
We're walking in the hallway pretty confident, so like we're supposed to be here. So I'm just going to play with that.
Okay.
And
nice save.
And go with it. So let's see. Roll 15 bluff. No, 16 bluff.
Okay. And
I tell them, we're here to see Elizabeth. We have business with her.
One of the thugs motions to the other thug, like, whoa, don't fire yet. And he's like, I didn't get any word of a meeting tonight. What's going on? Who are you?
Yeah, we're probably going to have to fight him anyway. So I'm just going to step up a little bit and call back to Johnny that we're going to need some backup. So he should start heading over here. And I'm going to continue to roll with it.
Wow. And Johnny just rolled a 20. So yeah, cool. I mean, for his initiative.
All right, so he's right behind us. So I'll just tell him or tell the guards that we were hired by Elizabeth to find someone, and we've found them. And then I'm gonna say to Sid, show them what we found.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, they're with you. They're like, okay, yeah, we've heard about this.
And then so that'll be probably my turn, and then probably open up on them. So try to do a surprise round or something, I guess.
I was gonna say, yeah, since you've got them basically believing you, I think you'd go against their touch AC at this point.
All right. Yeah, since I'm up close, I will pull out the weapon and take a shot. 14 to a hit.
Yes, that hits.
All right, or 14. 13 damage. Damn.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, so you fire at the thug, and he just reels back from the force of your shot. And let's see who's next. Sid, you are next. Oh, actually, no, you're not, but I think we're treating this as a surprise round, so you are next.
Okay, I'm going to take the one that's still standing. I'm going to do my stunning fist on him.
Okay.
15.
Yeah, that hits as well.
And then 3 damage.
Plus fatigue, right? Is that one?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So the other thug, who has been hit by Chai Wei, fires back. Oh wait, that was a surprise round. Sorry. So now it's back up to I guess Johnny. Yeah, so Johnny can emerge from the hallway at this point, and he'll take a shot and misses. Poor Johnny. But it is your go during a normal round now, Chai Wei.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna take another shot. I think this guy's probably going down this round. So, and I rolled a 1. So 4, 5 to hit.
Yeah, does not hit.
That's what I get for being overconfident.
Sorry. It is Johnny's turn again, though. Oh, natural 20. So Johnny takes out this sort of huge kind of, it looks like a gun, but it's instead of a bullets, it fires syringe-like darts. And so he hefts it and just takes a shot at, I think at the one that that Sid hit, because he looks less bad off, but he's a lot slower to react. So he shoots, and the syringe just pokes the guy right in the neck and does 7 damage. And it is now the thugs' turns. So let's see what they do. 15 to hit Sid. Does that hit?
It does not.
Okay. And then the other one is not going to take an action. He is too busy reacting to Johnny's shot. So Sid, it is your turn.
So the one that is fatigued and just got shot with the syringe, yeah. I'm just going to take my cyber arm and just punch him in the face.
Cool, go for it.
20.
Nice, okay. So, yeah, syringe pumping who knows what into his body, cyber fist in his face, he crumbles down to the ground. He's unconscious and or dead. And that brings us back up to Chai Wei.
All right, I got a 20 to hit the last one, and an 8 damage.
Nice, and he falls to the ground as well. So both thugs are out of the picture.
All right, we'll call back into Peter and tell him to head over, get us through this door. Or maybe one of the guards has a badge. Search him real quick.
Yeah, you do find an access badge on one of the guards, if you want to use that. But you do hear Peter making his way with his crew over to your position as well.
Right, might as well go secure the room, so I'll open the door and say Sid after you.
Why, thank you.
So when you open the door to the next room, you see a huge, almost the size of a warehouse. It's just an enormous room. Very unlike the rest of the office. It's not, you've kind of left the office space at this point, it seems. Huge room, and the sound of computers humming and fans blowing and that sort of industrial data center sound hits your ears. It's almost overwhelming. The space is filled with racks and rows and racks of computer banks. And the floor strangely seems to be glistening, and you're not sure why. So you kind of, if you look closer at the floor and turn your attention to it, you see that it's a grating, sort of a, so that the floor is actually, it goes down farther than you can actually step. And then as you keep sort of scanning the room just with your eyes, you notice that the sides of the room, the far walls of the room, are not covered in computer equipment, but, I mean, they're shielded with something, and they've got some layers of metal going on, but once again, it's kind of, something is glistening on the walls. And again, you're not really sure, it's difficult to make out a whole lot in the dim light. If you listen closely, you kind of hear that there's something other than the humming of computers. It's something more organic sounding. And you look at the far walls and you follow the walls upwards towards the ceiling. And as you do it, you realize what you're looking at is liquid that's flowing down the walls, almost cascading down the walls like a fountain or a waterfall. It's not water, though. Keep looking, and to your horror, you see that where the walls meet the ceiling, just near the tops of just all around the room, on kind of like these really large meat hooks, are the bodies of global Omnium Digital employees who knows what they've done to deserve this, but they're naked and they're attached to these meat hooks, and there are wires extending from their bodies and they're bleeding out, and that's what the liquid, this enormous amount of slow drip of liquid down the sides of the walls and under the floor, it's coming from all of these bodies. They're just being basically dehydrated as they hang there. Most of them are dead right now, but you can see a couple up there in a far corner. They must be new, and there's some life in them. You know, they're dazed and in shock, but they are alive as they're being literally drained of every amount of life that was contained in their body. And you realize from seeing all of this that this is a bio-organic power system for some kind of hybrid computer that Elizabeth Ravadun has developed for Global Omnium Digital. And it is literally being fueled by the employees that grow up within Global Omnium Digital, work at Global Omnium Digital, and then for whatever reason, whether it's because they outlast their usefulness or whether they've just done something that was not approved of, they ended up here powering one of the mainframes. Across the room, you see a door that leads back presumably to more office spaces. There are two sentry robots just kind of parked in either corner of the room. And when you enter, they come alive and they kind of, you see that their lights all come on and they turn towards you. They don't move or anything, but they rotate so that they're facing you, but they don't do anything yet. They don't take shot or anything like that, but they are clearly aware of your presence.
I will try to get on the network here, I guess.
Okay, this is probably a corporate network at the very least, but give me a hacking roll.
I got a 20 hacking to try to get on the network.
That does not get onto this network.
All right.
So the firewall blocks you, and you're not able to get access.
All right, I'm going to wait for Peter and ask him to see if he can get me on and maybe disable these turrets.
Cool. Yeah, so when Peter arrives, he and his hacker group take an assessment and they kind of they confer amongst themselves, and yeah, they're able to do this, they say. So they jump on. One of them gets in and then can transfer control over to you. So what do you want to do?
I guess just disable them for now, and we should probably see if there was any alarm on the system as well. So
yeah, there is an alarm for unauthorized entry through the door on the far side, but Peter and his crew are going to have key cards anyway, so that it probably won't be a problem, but you can disable that just out of safety.
Yeah, we'll clear that alarm up, maybe fake a check-in from the guards or something, and then continue on.
Okay, cool. So you walk unassaulted through the server room and through the far door, and then you find yourself in a very nice corporate-looking hallway. So you're kind of entering through the back entrance, and you can see that there's the way that most people come into this area is to your right through a very nice-looking reception area. And there's a lot of very swanky signs, and you know, this is clearly where they bring their business clients for meetings. The other entrance that you guys came through was the more like the employee entrance. And at the far end of the hallway, there is a door that is labeled Elizabeth Ravadun. And on either side of the hallway are various office spaces. And in the hallway, there are three very burly-looking security officers and two business people, by the looks of it. And they are apparently expecting you, because they're all looking straight at you. The three security officers have weapons drawn. The two people in suits are kind of hanging out in the hallway in the doorways of little office spaces, and they don't appear to be armed, but they're sort of watching for your approach.
All right, I look back at Peter and tell those guys to get on the network and try to defend against these guys while we take out the guards.
Peter nods and he says, yeah, we're on it. And he sort of retreats really quick, but he's got his group sort of camped out there in the server room, typing away as fast as they can, because that's how you hack.
Furiously typing.
The faster they type, the better they hack. So they do that. The security officers in the hallway, unless you're going to do anything, are going to open fire. So we should roll for initiative.
22.
17.
Johnny only rolled a 5 this time. Okay, cool. So let's see. It is... Oh, hold on. So it's Chaiwei's turn first.
All right. Is there any open doorways down the hall? I don't like being out in the open like this. So.
Yeah, there are several open doorways. And if they weren't open, you could make them open very easily. They're not high security offices by any means. So yeah, there are offices on either side that you can duck into.
All right. Well, I will hang out in one of the doorways, like 10 or 15 feet up the hallway and take a shot down the hall.
Okay, cool.
8 to hit.
Who are you firing at? That'll make a difference, actually.
Is one of the hacker guys exposed at all?
Yeah, yep.
All right, I will take a shot across the hall at one of the hackers then, or what I assume are hackers.
Yeah. Yes, you were correct, and yes, you hit.
All right, 2d8. 13 damage. A pretty powerful
wow,
punch.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so one of the business people flung back into the office. Blood splatters everywhere. Security guards turn next. Let's see what they do. I don't think that's going to hit anybody. 12. And another one takes a shot. Ooh, 20 at Chaiwei. That probably hits. Natural 20.
Indeed it will.
Let's see what happens. I don't think that's going to get past your fancy armor, though. 5?
Nope.
Cool.
Armor's almost lost a point, though.
Ah, okay. Sid, roll a fortitude save.
22.
Okay, cool. So your cyber arm, it's just sort of, you feel like it's completely locked up for some reason. You can't move it. And that doesn't, okay, so now it is Johnny's turn, and he doesn't do anything. So Chaiwei, it's back up to you.
Right, assuming that one businessman is down, I'm going to hop across the hall up to the next room, and then take a shot at one of the guards.
Yes, okay.
And I rolled a 1, so 5 to hit.
No, that does not hit anybody. So now it's a security guard's turn. 13 to hit, Chaiwei misses, right?
13 will hit.
Ah, it hits, okay. In that case, 7 damage.
Punches through my armor, and I will take 3 damage.
Ouch. Sid, 7 and 6, neither of those would hit you, correct?
No.
And it is your turn, Sid.
Is my arm still... glitchy.
Yep, it is still not under your control.
It's not under control, period.
I mean, it's not under anyone else's control, but it's not under your control.
I'm going to duck into a room on the opposite side of the hall from Chaiwei, and I'll take a shot at one of the guards.
Okay, go for it.
16.
Yeah, that hits.
3 damage.
Okay, so at this point, well, it's Johnny's turn. Let me let him go. Oh, 12. Yes, so Johnny, again, using his fancy syringe gun, hits one of the other business people, and... deals 2 damage. Okay. So at this point, from the room, the Elizabeth Rabadun doorway, it just kind of bursts open, just flies right off the hinges out into the hall. And they're standing in the doorway, looking barely like the person that you met at the Junker Cafe when she hired you is Elizabeth, but she's got an exoskeleton suit on, combat suit, and she lifts her arm and fires a rocket.
That is so cyberpunk.
Into the hallway, which bypasses both of you because you're hiding out in doorways, and goes into the server room and causes a huge explosion. And Peter comes over your comm link and says, "What's going on in there? I just lost 2 people." But it is Chaiwei's turn again. You have RoboCop in front of you and security guards who are going to defend her.
I will comm back to him, or say back to him over the comms, that Elizabeth has herself a cyber suit and is chucking rockets down the hallway.
He says, we're on it.
Take control of that thing
already. You hear typing. Typing even gets faster. You don't even know how it's possible.
Should I try to do a hacking roll myself? I think I might.
Yeah, like why leave it up to other people? Mm-hmm. Give it a go.
All right, I'm going to duck back into the room and 15 plus 12, so 27.
That is really good. Let me just double check this. Hold on.
So I think I'm already on the network, so I'm assuming this would be against her suit.
Yeah, that does not break through her her military grade exoskeleton. So yeah, you're not in.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, so it's the security guard's turn now. I'll just roll for them all 3. I don't think that's going to hit anyone. Maybe 13 hitting Chai Wei?
Yes, that will hit.
Okay. 8 damage.
All right, I take 4 more damage.
Okay, Sid, your go.
Gonna try to take another shot at one of the guards.
Yeah, and actually you can roll another fortitude save to see if you've recovered from the arm hack.
16?
Yes, so your arm returns to life. I'm treating this hack like a concentration spell. I don't know if that's how they want me to do it, but that's what I'm doing. In fact, it's funny, in some of the hacking rules in the Interface Zero thing, I don't know if you guys noticed, but... there are some blocks of text that they clearly just sort of pasted in from probably the Pathfinder stuff, because it actually accidentally says, instead of engrams, it says spells. Okay, Sid, what are you doing? You're firing at someone?
Actually, I'm going to change my mind now that my arm works. I'm going to go further into the room, and I'm going to go up against the wall that leads towards the people, and I'm going to try to bash through the wall.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I guess give me a strength check. I mean, it's a very low DC to get through a wall, I feel, so, but still give me a strength check.
Yeah, corporate construction's pretty cheap, so you'll probably be able to just bash right through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, drywall.
11.
Yeah, that's fine. So yeah, you start dig-dugging your way through the office space walls. Let's see, who's next? Oh, Johnny. Johnny runs across the hall into one of the office, into the doorways of one of the offices, and he looks over at you, Chai Wei, and says, you know, we never did talk about payment for this. Remind me to get back to you on that. And then he leans out into the hallway, and he's carrying this, it's almost a spear gun. And instead of a spear, it's this absurdly long and thick needle that is attached to a flexible hose. And through the hose, there's pumping some kind of, from a backpack that Johnny has on, it's pumping some kind of almost fluorescent green liquid. And he fires it at one of the guards, hitting him in the leg. And you can see the guard cry out, scream almost. And his leg, you can almost see that it's almost decaying right in front of your eyes. And then Johnny reels the spear back in. Chai Wei, it's back up to you.
All right. I have a question about those sentry robots that were back in the server room. Were they stationary or do they move?
Yes. They can move.
All right. I'm going to pull one of them out in the hall. Or actually, cool. Probably can control both of them, I would
totally,
assume.
Totally, yeah. But, no, I mean, you could do both.
I'm going to authorize them to go after Elizabeth and her exoskeleton.
Very nice. Okay, so give me a control hacking roll.
28.
Yes, that totally does it. So, yeah, so you just stick them on Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll pull them, have them roll out of the hall and, yep, just open fire.
Which they do. They immediately come to life and they walk over into the doorway and open fire at Elizabeth. And they don't really do all that well yet, but at least you know that they're there. Let's see, security guards.
And there's a few more targets to hit too, so.
Let's see. Okay, so one of the guards attempts to take aim and fire, but his gun suddenly doesn't work. And you kind of get the sense one of Peter's hackers has jammed one of the security guards' guns, which was good because he rolled a natural 20. Sid is out of sight, so yeah, Chai Wei, I think 16 would hit you again, correct?
They do have the sentry robots as well as targets, but it will hit, yeah.
That is true. That is 6 damage.
All right, more damage. Not doing horrible yet, but almost bloodied.
Sid, your go. You're still tunneling. Let's see, you can move, what, 30 feet at a time, right? Or are you in your cyber mode?
The cyber mode's always on, so it would be 40 feet.
You're back there on Elizabeth's perpendicular to where Elizabeth is standing at the end of the hall. So she's within your sight, for instance. And it is your turn.
I'm going to roll a flashbang out of the door of the room I'm in, right into in the middle of the group of people.
Nice. Yes. Okay, cool. So I think we said that did some kind of damage last time, right? It did like a D10.
2D10.
2D10 or 1D? Yeah, 2D10.
Non-lethal.
Yeah. Okay, go for it.
12.
Wow, nice. Okay, so now it is Johnny's turn, and he is going to... he's just rolling really badly today. So Elizabeth's turn now, and she is going to take a blast at those robots at the end of the hall. She hits them for 5 damage, she hits one of them for 5 damage, and it is Chaiwei's turn.
At least it's not our hackers this time.
Exactly.
All right. Is there one hacker left on their side? And do I have a line of sight on him?
There is one left, and you do have a line of sight.
All right. I will take a shot at him then. Natural 20 for 24 to hit.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's very good.
So I do double damage then, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So I rolled a 7 and a 2, so 9 damage.
So 18 damage full?
Oh, no. No, sorry. 7. Yeah, I rolled twice. No, so it'll be 14 damage.
We'll just
take the first roll times 2.
Yeah, okay. And, I mean, that would have... It didn't really... I think you've just practiced what we call overkill in the industry. He is completely splattered against the office. He is gone.
Picking him off one by one.
Okay, so Sid, 17 probably hits you, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, wait, you're still in the office, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
My robots get a turn as well? Or do I need to command them?
Oh, you're
them?
Right. No, totally, you're correct. I forgot that, yes. So they both fire at Elizabeth. Oh, yes, and 2 hits on her from each robot. That's 6 plus 6, so 12 damage again. She's gotten 2 doses of 12 damage so far.
The guard's turn, I think you were doing.
The guard's turns, was that what I was doing? Yep, okay. Thank you. Guard says, "I don't know who you are, but you're going down!" And he sprays bullets at that through into the hallway. Indiscriminately. They're hitting the robots again, so that's 5 and 2.
I'm going to sprint out of the door that I'm at, right at Elizabeth, in the split second that I have, kind of assess her exoskeleton, and just reach up to the part that looks like it has the most jiggly bits, and just try to rip it off with my cyberarm.
Very nice. Give me a... I'm trying to think if... I feel like it's not just raw strength. It'd be more like maybe dexterity or something. Let's do...
Oh, I was going to say the combat maneuver bonus might be...
Yep. Let's do that. I think we did that. Yeah, so roll. This will be a combat maneuver.
So that's the roll plus CMB?
CMB, yeah.
11.
Okay. You grab a collection of wires sort of extending from the... You know, the back of her skull piece, like the helmet into her back. Grab those cables and just rip them right off. And she you can see that she's just starting to lose control of the suit. But she's struggling to do it. But you can see that it's almost like she's lost. Like she's almost just using her strength to try to move the suit around. It's like there's no like hydraulic assistance or whatever. You know, it's completely just now. It's just an armored suit essentially. She appears to be pretty badly damaged from that.
Nice job, Sid.
Thank you.
And Johnny rolls and hits one of the security guards with. I think he's probably just switched to a shotgun at this point. So he just blasts, hits for, 7 damage. Okay, Elizabeth is up. She takes, like, with one arm, she sort of maneuvers one arm out of the exoskeleton suit, and she uses that arm to lift the other arm and to, like, basically use her suit as a weapon now, like as a firing weapon. And so she takes a shot down the hall fairly blindly, and does really poorly. So, yeah, that's that. And then the robots get to take a turn, because they're still going. Wow, and they both hit her. So, 11 and 7. Okay, wow. So the robot, they just pour bullets down the hallway at Elizabeth, and her suit just starts to sort of fly off of her body. It's just like pieces are just falling off, and she's struggling to get out of the suit because she sees that this is no longer useful for her. So she's struggling to get out of the suit, and eventually she does, and she kind of retreats back into her office in complete and utter fear. Chaiwei, it is your go. The security guards are quite distracted by the robots at this point. The hackers are out.
All right, assuming I'm still on the network here, I'm going to see what else is inside of the office, if I can.
Doesn't appear that there's any kind of turret or weaponry inside the office. There's nobody else in there except Elizabeth. But there is what you would identify as a vehicle in there, probably like an escape pod of some sort. But other than that, there's nothing else in there. You do not detect any weapons on the vehicle.
I'm going to see if I can hack into the vehicle, try to change the access protocols on it. I rolled an 8, so that's a 20 hacking attempt.
That would do it for that vehicle.
Lock her out.
Basically make it inaccessible to her. Yeah, okay, cool. So that's done. That was a try-way. Security guards, they're just worried about the robots still, because those robots are pretty fierce. One of them hits a robot, takes one robot out. One robot is down.
I'm going to run in the office and try to just grab Elizabeth.
You going through the wall, or are you going to do the crazy thing of using doorways this time?
I mean, it's not really my style, but the doorway's there, so we'll use it.
Okay, taking the easy way out. So you zip into the end of the room, and you see Elizabeth sitting in like what appears to be an escape pod, and she's trying in vain to trigger it to get away. So what are you want to just tackle her?
Yeah, sounds good.
You tackle her, and she says, "You're a traitor. I hired you. What are you doing?"
I look at her and I say, "Something more important than money."
Nice. Okay, Chiwei, it's your turn. You've only got one security guard left, and you know that Sid and Elizabeth are in the office.
I'm going to do an intimidation on the guard, a 17, just to tell him to surrender.
And seeing that all of his guards are down and that there's still a robot and there's still Chiwei, he drops his weapon and says, "Call off the robot, call off the robot!"
And I'll shut it down.
Cool, okay. So threats are now over. And hearing that all the gunfire seems to have stopped, Peter emerges from the server room. And it's like you've never really seen Peter before. He's wearing the same thing he's always been wearing, but he carries himself completely differently. And he steps out from the room into the hall and walks past the guard, past you, Chiwei, almost not even acknowledging you, just focused on the goal. And he goes back into the office, into Elizabeth's office. He just stands there for a moment, looks at the desk, and then looks at Sid. And Chiwei, I guess you probably come into the room, and he looks at you, and he says, "Thank you. Thank you, both of you. Not because you got me this office. This isn't what it's about. I've got Global Omnium Digital now under my control, and I can promise both of you, and all of you," he calls back into the hall at symbolically to the tinkerers, "that I'm going to run this company as a different company than what it has been, what it has come to represent. And the first thing we're going to do is dismantle that abomination, that computer that she's built to crush the spirits, literally, of the people working here. We're going to set this place up as a sanctuary for people to protect them rather than to imprison them. And it's because of you two. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. You can name a price. I'll transfer it to your bank accounts. And if you ever need anything in the future, you let me know." He looks over at Elizabeth and he says, "And as for you, you're not going to get what you deserve. Because what you deserve, I don't think you could withstand. But we're going to deal with you and your board justly, and you're going to come to regret the decisions that you've made." Peter turns back to Sid and Chiwei, and he gives you a bow, a soulful, sincere bow of thanks.
All right, that was quite the coup we pulled off here.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
yeah. Now, whether or not Peter is actually a more benevolent dictator than Elizabeth, of course, is a matter for future lore to determine. But yeah, you guys did that really, really creatively. It was a lot of fun. Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. You've just been listening to the conclusion of the Interface Zero playthrough. Let me run through some credits now, because I believe strongly in giving credit where credit is due. Many of the sound effects that you heard in this show have been CC0, so technically speaking, no credit is required, but I'd rather give credit because I think the work of these people is amazing. It's all from the website freesound.org. You should use freesound.org frequently. If you're a recorder, then you should contribute to freesound.org. All of the sound effects that I used were by users PCA Eldries Lakeside 2, In Chadney for the Bay, Clavo 1985, Music of the Black Circus, Joel Audio, Quick Smash, Tavi 55, Big Smash, P. Franzen, Smashing a Glass, Sunnyside Sound, Desk Pound, Spucken, Trumpet Metal, CGFX, Huge Rocket Launcher, Marshall Ferris, Elevator, The Omega Pixel, Metal Grind, Frito Beck, Firework Explosion, Simon Gray, Mojo Cafe, D. Poggioli, Laser Gun Explosion, Leb Craft LP, Heavy Rain, New Age Soup, Double Explosion, Blue Delta, Thunder Rain, Shots, Gunshot. Some of the music that I used was by a composer named William Kinlan, who has composed Wood/Water and Refrigerator. All other music by me, Klaatu. the adventure path, or the module that we played through, the story content, called Job Insecurity, is available from drivethroughrpg.com.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.